Well, good morning. My name is Jeremy, and I am a first-time visitor. Feels like forever since I've been up here, and I am just chomping at the bit to get at it, but we've had a wonderful vacation, some days of solitude and respite just completely by ourselves at a wonderful place in New York up in the Adirondacks for about 4 or 5 days, and then we were in California for about a week and a half, 10 days with our children, and then at the ACBC conference, the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. So we had a wonderful time there and fellowshipping there, which it was great this year. The conference was at my son's church in California, so we got to, as I said, enjoy some wonderful time with all of our California children. So that was great. But to say this, it is wonderful to come home. It is wonderful to be with you. I long for this church when we're not here. And it's just a joy to be worshiping the Lord together with you again this morning. We were able to enjoy great times of worship when we were gone, but how much better when you can come home to your home church and just enjoy that time. So what a wonderful blessing it is to be with you again this morning. And we've been really well served, and our hearts have been well prepared by our musicians this morning to look at the text of Scripture. So open your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're finishing up really the principal part of the book of Ephesians this morning. We'll have one more week in it, and then we'll see. My plan at this point, the next book we're going to be starting is the book of Nehemiah, and I don't know if that's going to be in 2 weeks or maybe 3 or 4. We'll see if there's a couple one-off sermons we do in between, but that's my plan. That's where we're headed next, just so you're all aware. I'm looking forward to that very much. Ephesians chapter 6, however, though, is where we're at for this morning. 18 to 24 is our principal text for today, but I want to stop back because this is all in the context of the armor of God that we're going to be looking at this morning. And so to get that back into our minds, I want to start reading back in verse 10. All right, so let's take a look at that. Paul writes, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, having taken up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Also, receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then our text for this morning. Praying at all times, with all prayer and petition in the Spirit, and to this end, being on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, as well as on my behalf, the words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, so that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know about all my affairs, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Father, this morning, this text draws our hearts and focuses our minds and our attention on that which should be very dear to us, which is the topic in the ministry, the avenue of communication with you of prayer. And Father, we thank you for what you've given us in your word about this, for the clarity that you provide, for the detail that's here in this text. And we pray, Father, that for each one of us who is here this morning, because we have looked at, because we have gazed into the depth of your word, that our hearts would be better prepared, better fixed on what it is to genuinely pray, to commune, to communicate with our God, and that it would demonstrate the love that's in our hearts for you. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Well, over the last few weeks, you know that we have been looking at the spiritual armor that's here in Ephesians chapter 6, and really the imagery that Paul has painted for us in that is stunning. It is absolutely stunning. Our spiritual armor is portrayed here in the text of Ephesians as if it is part of the Roman soldier's preparation for battle. And everything about this picture intimates the action of a soldier readying himself for combat. We see as we look at the spiritual armor that the soldier tightens his belt that encompasses his whole being and supports him. His heart pounds beneath his breastplate as he makes sure it's secure for the fight. His nail-studded boots scuff the ground as he tests his traction in preparation for meeting his enemy in combat. And as he enters the field of battle, he raises his shield as the enemy's hot, burning arrows start to fly. His helmet is ready to protect his head from the broadswords that surely will be swung at it. And his sharpened sword flashes in the light of the sun in preparation for the hand-to-hand combat that is about to begin. And just before the enemy attempts to jump through the wall of shields, to break through the wall of shields that the soldiers have established, set up side by side in a line as long as a mile wide, to bring their wrath down upon these soldiers, the soldier drops to his knees before his enemy, not in surrender, but in prayer. We've been looking at the Christian's armor and how it is used to repel the attacks of Satan. And as Paul closes the book of Ephesians, he brings us to this issue of prayer. Prayer isn't presented in our text for us today as armor, but it might as well be. There is nothing more critical to our defense than this. It is included with Paul's discussion of armor. It is essential to the use of that armor. In fact, without the right use of prayer, without the understanding of it that he gives us in this text, we could say that our armor is virtually useless. And while I haven't explicitly stated it, I think you've got the picture that you cannot walk in faithfulness to God without your armor. You'll remember that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul said this, he said, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called." Paul then told us that in all of chapters 4, 5, and 6, he is showing us what that looks like, what it looks like for us to walk worthy. Chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians is our doctrinal foundation so that we can understand how to walk worthy in chapters 4, 5, and 6. And since Christ has won this great cosmic victory that chapters 1, 2, and 3 proclaim for us by means of his cross, because Christ has redeemed those who are those whom the Father has chosen, because Christ has brought us into God's family and we have an inheritance in him, because Christ has defeated the powers of darkness to which we were once enslaved and united us as one body to Christ, because of all of that, now the result is that we are to walk worthy of that calling. And in keeping with that theme of walking worthy in chapter 5, verse 1, Paul calls us to be imitators of God as his beloved children. Chapter 5, verse 15 instructs us, quote, "Therefore, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." So Paul keeps reminding us throughout chapters 4, 5, and 6 that our walk now is in reflection, is in light of this foundation, this great cosmic victory that Christ has won, and a large part of that worthy walk is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He tells us and commands us to do that in chapter 5, verse 18. And the rest of the book of Ephesians, then, is really the outflow of what Spirit-filled people do. In chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, we find that that involves a Spirit-filled marriage. In chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, it is Spirit-filled parenting and being a Spirit-filled child. In chapter 6, verses 5 to 9, you have the Spirit-filled workplace, we could say. But then Paul tells us there is one more concern that we have in the book of Ephesians. We've seen all that God has accomplished. We've seen Christ's cosmic victory. We saw that as we live the Spirit-filled life in obedience to God, we proclaim Christ's victory over the forces of darkness. And then in chapter 6, verses 10 to 24, Paul reminds us, he reminds the Ephesians and reminds us that you still have to live that life in the presence of God's enemy. And though Christ has defeated Satan and your salvation is sure, you still must face your adversary every day. And until our mission on earth is done, until all the elect